And thanks for zooming by, stopping by, tuning into the HRN News at 7, or clicking and scrolling through on whatever social media site you happen to be on. Thanks for stopping here. This is HealthyLife.net Radio and our series of our hosts and the HRN News at 7 anchor, myself, Jay Cruz, and we're talking with all of our hosts and giving some advice and tips that how we can all just sort of navigate these crazy times. Every time you look at the news, there's a new story. You go outside and there's something else to kind of deal with, or something that might be dealing with us directly or dealing with our friends and family. Guy Finley is joining us today. Guy is quite a busy person, and Guy has been, well, giving advice and tips for these challenging times for the last at least 20 plus years on HealthyLife.net and a long time before that. Guy Finley, welcome to our talks. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Jay. Nice to hear you and see you. And we're cruising with Jay.
Yeah, just trying to cruise. And, you know, a lot of times it seems like every other day there's a new triggering event or a new topic that seems to suck everybody in. And, you know, we here on the network at Healthy Life Radio try to remind people or give tips and advice through all of our shows. But it's a chance for us to really zoom in. No pun intended that we're using Zoom on this, but to really focus on, you know, good ways for us to be calm, be centered, be productive, and navigate these. Guy Finley has been an inspirational leader with inspirational talks, and you've been doing this for quite some time. So you're pretty much one of the masters of these kind of talks.
Well, thanks for the thought. And I suppose that in a school of dogs, I'm an old one and have been around long enough to understand certain things, and God willing, still growing in that understanding. But I think the first thing, Jay, is I believe that until we understand that we're never going to change the conditions, as critical as they may be, that we see, until we change the nature of the consciousness that sees it. We look out at a world and we see that all of this madness, and we summarily resist or reject or deny what we see, or decide that we're going to be some kind of activist to try to change the condition. But until we recognize the condition is actually an expression of our consciousness, you cannot separate the world you see and the way you experience it from the level of consciousness in which it is being reflected. So for me, it has always been about one thing, and for over 40 years now, it is, am I willing to be responsible for what it is that is actually creating this moment that I don't want? Because when it comes down to it, we all have moments we don't want. But for me, and I hope that we can make this clear in the short time we have together, what I really don't want, Jay, in that moment is the reaction I'm having to that moment. The moment isn't a triggering device unless I'm walking around with a loaded gun in my consciousness, period. And most of us don't know that we walk around with all of these demands, these subtle forms of insistence that the world line up to whatever our political, religious, or philosophical view may be. So that we are the ones that have to come to grips with what feels like it's closing its hands around our neck. Otherwise, we're never going to be free.
That's so powerful. In fact, you called your show Letting Go with Guy Finley. Indeed. And you do so many talks, and I personally have probably used that advice hundreds of times easily since I met you and have come to know your work, where we do grip onto these identities or these thoughts or these patterns. And, you know, until we realize that's the part that's triggering me is my reaction to it. Something can happen. I can easily look the other way, and it doesn't necessarily have to bother me. But if I look at it and look the other way and it still does, obviously there's something resonating with me about that incident, that person, that particular viewpoint, or whatever that triggering moment might be. And if I don't let go of whatever it is I'm attached to, I can't be free. I can't grow.
And the thing is, and I hope it's not too deep to throw into a short conversation.
That's okay.
What is it that I'm actually insisting upon? What is it that I'm attached to? And the answer is it's not to you or him or her, this, that. It's not even to some political or philosophical association. I am, without knowing it, and that's the key word here, I am identified with something. I'm identified with left or right or yes or no. And because I don't know the extent of the identification, I have no way of recognizing that the degree of resistance that I feel in that moment is because I feel threatened by what you've said or done or the way the world is moving. And this is not about a life where we go figure out ways to protect ourselves from what threatens us. It's about discovering that we're living from a consciousness that's threatened by anything that runs against what it believes is true or not. This is the problem, but it is also, as Rumi would say, the antidotes in the venom. This is where we actually can bring real work to ourselves and begin to change the world because we begin to change.
No, that's so powerful. I as an example for myself, you know, social media is a great place. I've really avoided jumping into a conversation. I realized there was something within me that, even though I get to broadcast and people get to hear me all the time, I needed to get heard. I needed to have my opinion seen, heard, read, or validated. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why people jump in, myself personally. And then I realized that's exactly what I was doing. And it took a little while to learn how to stop that. Or, you know, maybe type something out in the proverbial, I'm going to write that letter to that person and then burn it and get those feelings out. Maybe I've done that and then gone back and deleted the whole comment without hitting send or post and such like that. So I personally have resonated and done some of those steps. But what's a great way for maybe someone who's battling with this particular getting a grip on consciousness, what's a great place for them to stop and maybe identify that that's the step they're going and maybe be able to take a breather and let go of that?
It's really pretty simple in a way, but I think it may be because of its simplicity that it is so summarily denied.
Yeah.
Look, is there anything ever right about being negative, angry, resentful? Is there anything ever that's right about being negative? And if we're honest, there is nothing good about feeling bad, period. And yet, when I'm carried off in a negative reaction, I have no awareness at all of what is actually taking place in my consciousness, because that consciousness and what it is identified with has begun to point the finger at what it says is the cause for the conflict. Now, this is critical. The conflict is not between the condition and my consciousness. The conflict is in my consciousness that demands the condition line up with what it insists is true. That's where the conflict is. And that's where we have to wake up. That's where we need to do the interior work of recognizing that when we are feeling like something's wrecking our lives, we need look no closer than in the reflection of ourselves as we are in that moment. And then if we do that honestly, we'll see there's something in us that just insists on burning, that just demands that someone else knows they're wrong, whatever it may be. And it is in that insistence and in that demand that comes this resistance to the moment and the reincarnation of that consciousness as it tries to change or control the conditions it blames for its own pain.
Yeah, it is deep. That's a good way to really look at it. And takes a lot of work to be able to recognize that.
Well, so. It does. And Jay, you know this, man. You're running this series. We want to drive through Happy Land, you know, McDonald's, and get the Happy Meal. And okay, now I know, and then I'm good to go until I pull out of the parking lot and somebody cuts me off. And exactly. Then into the air goes my Happy Meal, Happy Me, and I'm right back to where I started again. I don't want to come back to where I started again. That's what civilizations have been doing since the beginning of time.
Oh, yeah.
And we are the civilization that keeps crumbling because we never really awaken to a consciousness responsible for all this crud that we blame on others.
Absolutely. I know it's so many things to reach into, but exactly the first place to look is 99.9999% of the time within ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, other than less, it's like jumping out of the way for the truck or the car that's coming by. And I know some days I joke with friends on my days off, I go, I can't make a decision to save my life. And then I go, no, wait, I can make a decision to jump out of the falling rock or get out of the way of the car. What am I going to do when I have free time on a Saturday afternoon and I don't have something planned? You know, that's where I get confused. So I like to have a little bit of structure or some planning to help me. After too much time with the COVID and pandemic, there was just too much wandering going on, and I needed that foundation of structure and schedule to come back.
You know, and of course there's a healthy basis for that, Jay, but we can see where a healthy basis can turn into an unhealthy addiction for distraction.
Yes.
You know, and that's part of the way this mind works, sort of like the sleight of hand magician. He works his magic by getting you to put your attention on something other than what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And our consciousness is always placing our attention on something other than what our consciousness is actually doing to us in that moment. So we must learn, if we're even interested in bringing an end to this constant, the sky is falling business, we have to learn to be patient. You said, I need to get out of the way of the car. Obviously, can I get out of the way of a wrecking thought if I don't recognize it as being something that has come to mow me over? So it begins with awareness. It always comes back to that one simple idea. Can I be mindful, present enough to myself to be able to taste the difference between a painful, fearful, angry thought and a practical thought that is trying to come to a natural solution to some situation that I'm in? If I can do that, I'm in the right place to begin. That's the true waiting line for what is good.
And that's good. It's almost like buying that magical e-ticket from the old days in Disneyland to get on the ride to clear consciousness and correctability.
Yeah. So few of us know that old e-ticket thing. Jay, you just dated yourself, man.
I was born very close to Disneyland, so during my early years. But yes, that's something definitely from the past. But, you know, waiting in line to get on that ride to the path of clearing the consciousness and recognizing and being able to know that trigger is coming up and then go, that's me really reacting to the trigger. It's not the situation. It's not the newscaster. It's not it's my reaction to the news. You know,
Jay, to be very clear, and listeners, you might want to write this one idea down if you want.
Yes.
There's no such thing as a bad fact about myself, period. There is no such thing as a bad fact about myself. But this consciousness, Jay, divides itself up into me that knows better and me that did the stupid thing. Well, if there's actually a me that knows better, why wasn't it there before the me that did the stupid thing?
Yeah.
And that's the trick, see? When I judge myself, I'm actually keeping from myself the fact that my consciousness itself is actually set against itself. It wants what it wants until it runs into what it doesn't want. And then somehow it tries to figure out how to get rid of what it doesn't want, ignoring the fact that it couldn't be sitting there not wanting that moment if it didn't want something else the moment before. So it's a real hand, it's a trick. It's a trick of the consciousness. We mustn't judge ourselves. That's such a critical passageway to recognize the task is to be the observer of this consciousness and not the unwitting man or woman who serves it by trying to avoid or otherwise pursue what it says needs to be done to get life back the way it's supposed to be.
That's very well said, and thanks for pointing that out. And listeners, you can obviously listen to this again. But before we started, Guy was telling me some of the things he's up to at the moment, including 3 times a week, you do some live webcasts.
What are they
exactly?
As you said, Jay, 3 times a week, we live webcast right from the foundation here in Southern Oregon. Men and women are coming back now. We're starting to get, you know, nice groups of people. But since COVID, we went out live. all across the world, and it's been phenomenal, the response that I never expected when we started casting these talks. So on Wednesday night and Sunday mornings and Saturday mornings, I speak free, nothing to join, period, to men and women all over the world, and everyone is invited to listen in. Of course, I'm on healthylife.net, and you know, by now my name and videos are ubiquitous across the web. You can search me out that way, or just go to guyfinley.org, and you'll find everything you need. There's enough to spend 15 years going through free material on Guy Finley, FINLEY.org. So thanks for letting me tell people about it.
Absolutely. And just to kind of add to that for our listeners, even if you go back to something from 15 years ago, the message will probably be just as important and powerful today as it was 15 years ago. And you would be like, did Guy know I was going through this? He must have known.
Yeah,
so.
we're all going through it. That's the beauty. But I look at someone and I say, well, you're not going through it because you're making me go through it. And that's ludicrous. It is our consciousness. It is our pain. And it is our responsibility to deal with it consciously. End of story for 40 years. And if I'm still alive from 20 years from now, it'll be the story then, Jay.
All right. Well, let's hope that happens. Listeners, go to guyfinley.org. Catch one of these talks. And while you're there, you can also find a number of things from the past, including books and other videos and materials. It's quite a resource for people to go to. And once you get there, you're probably going to bookmark it and not want to leave. That's been the feedback I've heard from many people that I've pointed to your way over the years.
Thank you, Jay. That's very kind. And if you just want to register directly for one of these free talks, go to guyfinley.org/classes. And then you can bypass the website if you don't want to deal with that.
All right. Everything can be found at guyfinley.org. Also, check out Guy's shows here on healthylife.net. Guy, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your day and giving us some sage words of wisdom that will be timeless and hopefully help some of our listeners who maybe are just stumbling upon this or struggling with something and recharging themselves.
It's a trip, Jay, just to see. It is. It's just, you know, you and I have talked for like 20 decades, and yeah. I don't think I've ever laid my eyes on you. So it was a delight, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. And it's been 20 years, so we're on our 20th anniversary coming up in October. So we're very close to that.
I hope you send me something nice.
All right. We'll be in touch.
All right, Jay. All right.
Guy, thank you so much once again. Listeners, go to guyfinley.org and keep looking for the healthylife.net hosts and anchor series here on the channel that you're watching this on, if that's YouTube, Facebook, or the HRN News at 7. Guy Finley, thanks once again.
You bet, man.